Praise God. I like that. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 15 this morning. I appreciate the singing. And don't forget, tonight at 5 o'clock, we'll be having choir practice. And so we've been having great crowds for choir practice. And I want to say thank you for taking the time to come. I know we'll have baptism this afternoon at 3:45. And we usually come over and it doesn't take as long to baptize. I tell you, we can, we get them in and get them out. We're like Chick-fil-A, amen? We get you in and get you out, don't we? And they hardly get wet. I'm telling you, that's how fast we baptize. But we'll sing a couple songs and or two, and then we'll have baptism. It won't be a very long, just a few moments. And so then we'll come over here at 5 o'clock, and we'll have choir practice. And then 6 o'clock, we'll have the evening service. So pray for the service. Pray for everything going on this afternoon, that the Lord's will would be done. Luke chapter 15, if you're able to stand with us in reverence to the Word of God. And I want to say this. I've been preaching from this chapter for some time and going to continue. You know, the devil yesterday, and I'm going to blame the devil because I don't think this was me or God, but the devil said, you know, you need to lighten up on Luke 15, and that's exactly what he would want me to do. But I'll tell you what, the Holy Spirit's just been giving me message after message after message in this book, in this chapter. And I know that all the Word of God helps us. But when God just keeps ringing a passage out in my soul, I also know that God is sending a message, maybe to keep somebody from going this way. And so, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to squeeze every ounce of juice I can get out of this chapter until I feel like the Holy Spirit is just done. I know you don't mind that. I'm just serving notice on Satan this morning, because you never know what God is doing in a service in people's hearts. Amen? And so I'm just praying, if somebody might be struggling, you might be thinking about getting out of the will of God, getting out of church, I pray that God scares the living daylights out of you and you get right with the Lord. Amen? In your heart. And you never go that way. Amen. Luke chapter 15, verse number 13. Just one verse of scripture that we want to read this morning that we've read many times. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Father, I ask you this morning to give me a fresh touch, a fresh anointing. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would speak to us and through us this morning. May the will of God be done in this service. Lord, I pray that you'd bless your people. Thank you for them being here this morning. Thank you for the visitors, Lord, that are here this morning. May the will of God be done, and we'll give you the glory and the honor for everything said and done. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated this morning. I really want to emphasize just two words that is found in verse number 13. I started to move on to, there's a lot of positive preaching in this chapter here, but I just can't get out of these verses right now. But there's two words I want to emphasize this morning found in verse number 13, and it is the phrase far country. And I want to preach on that thought this morning, on the far country. The far country. I began to think about that this week, could not get it off my heart. And just a few questions popped in my mind about the far country. Number one, why did Jesus call this the far country in this passage of Scripture? We know it is a parable, but why did Jesus call it the far country? I think one reason is because of this country's distance. Amen. You notice the Bible said in verse number 13 that he took his journey into a far country. Now, when you see the word journey there, you know that means that this is something that it meant he had to travel. There was many miles included there. There was some distance here for this young man. It wasn't something that he just went across town or he went across the farm somewheres, but the Bible said he took his journey. He had a path, and there was a long path, a long distance. And so that's why Jesus calls where he goes the far country, is because of the distance. It was far away from everything that he knew. And you know, when people go to the far country, talking about the world, that's what they do. They take a journey. Amen? They always go further than what they planned on going. It is the far country. And then I think it's called the far country because of the difference. Amen? You see, this country, where this young man lands, the place that he winds up in, you'll agree with me that it's absolutely nothing like how he grew. grew up. Amen. When he gets to the far country, everything is different in that place than it was in the place that he started. And I want to say, when people get away from God and they wander away from God and they go out into this world, they're in a totally different place. Amen. You see, the world doesn't think like us, and the world doesn't act like us. Hey, the world doesn't sing our songs, and they don't live our life, and they don't go our places. You know why? Because they're not of the Father, but of this world. And when you go to this world, it is a far country because of the distance and the difference. There is a vast difference between the world and the people of God. They're living in darkness, and thank God we're living in light. Amen. And I've always wondered why people would want to leave the light and go to the darkness. Amen. But in this text, I wondered why did Jesus call this the far country? I think that is why. And then another question that comes to my mind about this far country is, where is the far country? I mean, where is the far country? We know where it is in this text, but where is it in 2026? Where is it? Where is the far country in my life? Where is the far country in your life? You say, well, preacher, I don't want to go that far country. Well, you need to know exactly where it's at so that you never go there. You say, where is the far country? It's anywhere away from the Father's presence. Amen? You see, anything or anyone or any place that would take you away from the presence of God, that is the far country, friend. You see, you can be in the far country while you're sitting in church. That elder brother never left the farm, but it was in his heart to do exactly what that younger son had went out and done. And I've seen people, they never got out of church, but it was always in their heart. You see, any place that takes you away from the Father's presence is the far country. Any place that takes you anywhere that takes you away from the Father's provision is the far country. Amen? I'm talking about when you get out there and you start doing things that denies you the blessings of God in your life. Listen, you're in the far country. Amen. I need the Father's provision, don't you? And while I'm on the subject, not tithing is the far country. You say, what do you mean the far country? Because I don't write a tithing check out? Yes. Because it takes you away from the Father's provision. You have a choice. I have a choice to either live under the blessings of God or live under the curse of God. You say, is it really a big deal that I tithe? Well, it's not for the church. The church is going to carry on whether you tithe or not. God's going to take care of the church. It's not to the preacher. You're not going to pad my pocketbook. God's going to take care of me. Listen, it doesn't matter. He's going to take care of me whether you tithe or not. You're not tithing to me. You're not tithing to the church. The Bible said the tithe is the Lord's. Amen? And it's to be brought to the place where He chose to put His name. That's not my house. That's not a radio preacher. That's not some other ministry. But that's the house of God. Isn't that right? This is the place that He chose to put His name. And then the Bible said it's to be put in a basket. Amen. Hey, that's a good offering plate. It's to be brought to the house of God. It's to be given in the offering plate. That's why we do all that. Amen. But you say, well, is that the far country? Well, yes, because what you're choosing to do is live outside the provisions of God. Do you realize this morning the church don't need your money? The preacher don't need your money? Hey, God don't need your money. But I'll tell you what we all need this morning. We need His blessings on our life. Amen. It'll cost me more not to tithe, do you realize that, than it would to tithe, because that means I get to keep 100% under the curse of God. What would you rather have, 90% under His blessings and His provision, or 100% living under the curse? One preacher I heard say years ago, before he got right with God, he didn't tithe, but he said every time he didn't tithe, he said he knew to keep his toolbox handy, amen, because something was going to tear up, something was going to break. He said, I never could get ahead in life. And that's the amazing thing. When you give to God, you can get further ahead obeying God than keeping it all for yourself. Amen. You see, the far country is anything away from the Father's presence. It's anything away from the Father's provision. And then it's anywhere away from the Father's protection. You see, when you go to the world, young people, listen to me. When you go to the world, here's what happens. You're getting out from under that umbrella of safety that God has put you in. You see, anybody can get cancer in church or out of church. But when you're living for God and you get cancer, you know that you can go to God in prayer and ask God for help. And if He doesn't heal you of that cancer, then you know it to be the will of God. Is that right? But I tell you, get out in the world and you get cancer, there's going to be something in the back of your mind wondering, had I stayed in church? Had I lived for God? See, preacher, y'all not say that. Oh, yes, I should. People don't say it no more, and they ought to. People don't fear God like they used to. I didn't say if you get out, I didn't say if you stay in church you won't get cancer. But what I'm telling you, when things happen in your life and you're not where you need to be at with God, and I'm not where I need to be at with God, when things come into our life, we have to raise the question, would this have ever happened had I been at where I'm supposed to be at with God? Would tragedy have hit my home? You say, why? Because when you go to the far country, you get away from God's protection. Can I tell you, I need His presence, I need His provision, and I need His protection in my life every single day. Where is the far country? It's anywhere away from these things. Who goes to the far country? I thought about that. Who is it that goes to the far country? Well, it's those who are stubborn, amen, and will not listen. You see, this boy would not listen to his father. No doubt this father instructed him from the time he was a little lad. He was given instruction. He was given everything that he needed. He was taught. But the problem with this young man is that he would not listen to what was said. I want to say you can go to a good church and hear preaching every Sunday that'll give you the right instruction. You can go sit under a good Sunday school teacher, but I'm going to tell you something, it won't do no good if you don't put it in shoe leather. Amen. You can know the right things to say. You can know the doctrine. You can know what you believe and why you believe it, but if you don't practice it, guess what? You're going to wind up in a far country. Amen. And don't get stubborn when a man of God preaches the truth to you. And I don't think, I know I'm preaching to the choir when I say that this morning, but I've seen people, they start getting things in their heart, and you preach to them and you try to help them, and you know what it does? A lot of times it makes them mad. Amen. I'll tell you, if you preach, you just got to be willing to preach whether they're happy, sad, or mad, or glad. Amen. Whether they say amen or oh me, whether they shout or whether they pout. I mean, a man of God that loves your soul will preach the truth and not worry about your feelings. I thank God that when I grew up, I grew up under some preachers that wasn't worried about my feelings. They was worried about my spiritual well-being. Amen. I'm not worried about a paycheck. I'm not worried about a pocketbook this morning. I'm not worried about a pat on the back. I'm worried about keeping somebody from shipwrecking their life and going to the far country. Amen. I'm talking about if you're stubborn, you need to get on this altar and say, oh God, make me and break me, mold me and use me. Don't break that old stubborn will in my life. Let me surrender to the will of God. You say, why? You'll wind up in a far country if you don't. Those who are selfish, they go to the far country. Those who do not care whose hearts they break in life. You know, I want to say to every person here, every young person, number one, you ought to care about the heart of God. He loves you with an unconditional love. You ought to care, number two, about the heart of your parents. I can remember growing up, my mother used to say this about a thing or two in life. She'd say, be talking about something. Sometimes she'd say, now, son, if you ever do that, I'm going to tell you something. You might as well go dig a grave and put me in it. I said, Mom, I'm not going to do that. But why do you want to say those things? Those are morbid things I don't want to think about. She said, because I don't want you to ever do it. And you know, sometimes when something would come up, I think, man, if I do that, my mom said it would kill her. I think it's okay to tell your kids that stuff. Now, I got two amens, but it doesn't matter. I'm going to preach it anyway. I think it's okay to look at your children and say, son, daughter, if you ever do that, you might as well bury me. See, people don't talk to their kids like that no more. They've read too much internet and too many, you know, they've read too much junk out there. You know, and the preacher doesn't know what he's talking about no more. Well, I'm going to tell you something. It kept me out of sin. Is it not true that there's some things that kids could do that would just put gray hairs on your head and break your heart and wrinkles in your face? Amen. And I think it's worth telling them that. I think it's good for them to hear that kind of stuff. Didn't warp the society before, but this society sure is warped. Can I get an amen right there? Those who are selfish, and that's what it is. This boy walked away and never said goodbye. He walked away and never said thank you. And you know, people do that to God all the time. They leave His house and never even say goodbye to God. They just go out and do what they want to. Never look back up and see where the acorns are falling calling from. Never say thank you, God, for giving me life. Hey, never say thank you, God, for all the benefits and all the blessings that God has given. Hey, he doesn't owe us anything, amen? But those who go to the far country, they only think of themselves. Selfish, that's who goes. Those who are self-willed. Again, that goes back to stubborn. Those who are sinful. Some people wind up in the far country because they get a certain sin on their mind that they want to commit. Maybe it's alcohol. Maybe it's adultery. Maybe it's fornication. I've seen young men, young ladies live pure and get to almost to the end if they had just been patient, if they had just waited a little bit longer for God to send them that right. But maybe they got in their late teens, early 20s, and all of a sudden they got impatient. They couldn't wait for the right person. So they thought, I got to break away. I got to get out there. I got to meet some different people. And they wind up meeting someone and ruining their life. What I'm telling you this morning is that's the far country. Sinfulness will drag us all. And it doesn't matter how long you've been serving God, this pastor included this morning, if I let sin in my life, he could take me to the far country. I have a preacher friend who's out of the ministry this morning. He preached, pastored a great church. God used him. And I'm not against what I'm about to say. Don't misunderstand me. But he got to working out. He got to lifting weights. Now, I'm not against lifting weights. I'm not against working out. But he got so heavily involved in it as he was pastoring this church that that's all he thought about. It's all he lived for. He met a young lady at the gym. And you know the rest of that story, how it ends. His far country was working out in a gym. Not sitting down at the bar. What got that man of God out, what destroyed his family? What you say, Brother Gravely, is it okay for me to work out? Yeah, but you better be careful about that stuff. Don't let it build pride in your life. You better have some checkpoints, and you better have some accountability in your life. You know, a lot of people go to them gyms, and you know what? You know, they go there for a reason. And I'm not against if you go to a gym. Don't misunderstand me. But you better have a partner. You better have some accountability. You better have something in your life. I don't know what you need about that. And I'm not going to dictate what you do. But what I'm saying, I've seen it ruin too many people is what I'm saying. I don't think God wants us to be slobs. And I don't think God wants us to be fat and overweight and all that kind of stuff because we're just lazy. I'm not advocating any of that stuff this morning. But I'll tell you, if he can't get you that way, guess what? He'll get you another way. Amen? He'll get you so pumped up with pride, you'd have been better off 250 pounds, amen? And like Jell-O, can I get an amen right there? As firm and tight in the physique, amen? And all built up and thinking all about yourself, amen? I'm telling you, that's what happens. I reckon we're going to preach on everything this morning. I'm just talking about sinfulness, amen? Anything can become an idol. Anything can become sin in all of our lives, this pastor included. I'm telling you about myself. I try to keep accountability in my life 24/7. I mean that. Not because I'm that spiritual, because I live in flesh. I leave the house, I want my wife to know where I'm going. I want her to know what I'm doing. If I'm going out of town, I want somebody to go with me. I know everybody don't have that privilege, but if I got it, I want to take that privilege as long as I have that. You know why? So if somebody was to lie on me, I've got Brother Andrew with me. Amen. Somebody said, well, a preacher went down here and did such. He said, well, go call Brother Andrew. He was with me. He'll tell you where I was at. It's not that I'm that spiritual. I just don't want the far country to get me, friend. Amen. I'm talking about sinfulness. And those who are straying. That's who goes to far country. You say, what do you mean those who are straying? I mean, you said in church, if you're not careful in a good church, we can become so used to what we have. We just stray from God. I ask you the question that the Holy Spirit's asked me several times. He kind of keeps me in check with this little question. Sometimes I'll go to pray and God will just put that right in front of me. He'll say, is Bible Baptist Church still special to you? And I'll say, Lord, yes, I thank you for our church. I thank you for... And that thought would come to my mind so many times in prayer. And I'll say, Lord, and you know what it does? It makes you evaluate. Where am I at with this church? That's not just good for the pastor. Is this church special to you? We know it's the Lord number one. You say, why would you ask that question, preacher? Because I'll tell you, if it ever ceases to be, little by little, He can get you in that far country. I've seen people, and you have two come to this church, and man, I mean, they'd almost kiss the carpet after a month of being here. Hey, so man, it's the greatest place in the world. Oh, give them 3 years. And after a while, well, I've heard that choir sing so many times. I've heard the preacher preach so many times. And it can happen to all of us, is what I'm saying. We can just become so conducive to the atmosphere that we forget how blessed we are. We forget how dry it is. And so I'm telling you, friend, it's dry in a lot of places. Trust me, amen. It is bone dry in a lot of places that you go. And it's just a struggle, amen. I'm talking about sometimes preaching. You feel like you're about to suffocate in some places, but I've come back here so many times and it's like a cool drink of water on a hot summer day just to hear the choir sing. Hear somebody give a word of testimony, not a word of complaint-a-mony. Hear somebody say amen, hallelujah. I'm telling you, I made my mind up as a teenager. I'm never going to church by the grace of God. I'm never going to attend a service. And Brother Lighty, that what I don't say amen and that what somewhere's in that service, I don't raise my hand. You say I made a commitment to God when I was 15 years old. I said, God, as long as you'll give me the ability to raise my hand in church, as long as you'll give me a voice, I'm going to say amen. I'm going to raise my hand. I don't need to feel nothing. You don't have to drop a blessing my way. You don't have to do anything for me. God, you're just worthy. You're just worthy for me to raise my hand. And Lord, you're just worthy. And what's being said is true. And amen means that's right. That's the truth. And I'm going to amen the singing. I'm going to amen the preaching. I'm just going to amen whatever's going on if it's true. Hallelujah. Amen. And I've kept that commitment to God. And I'm going to keep it till my dying day. When I get to heaven, I'm not going to have to go to kindergarten class to learn how to praise God. I ain't got it all together, but I'm telling you, friend, I don't want to lose my shouts, what I'm saying. I know I'm not going to lose. Hey, everything may dry up on the vine around us, but I'm going to tell you, I'm going to keep my eyes toward home, aren't you? I'm going to keep looking toward heaven. You say, why? Because worship will keep you out of the far country. Worship will keep you from wanting to leave the farm. Worship will keep you from wanting to go the world. I don't want their honky-tonk mess. I don't want their rock concerts. I don't want their beer-drinking parties. Just give me an old-fashioned church on the side of the road where they still sing the praises of God and they still shout amen and they still worship. Let me get in a good worship service because God is good, amen. And I'm not going to wait for somebody to get it started. I'm going to get in on it myself, hallelujah. He's just worthy. I'm going to praise Him whether it's, I mean, they've been some places, man, I'm telling you, it's been drier than cracker juice. I said, God, I'm going to worship You anyway. Been some places where they looked at you like, man, where did this guy roll in at? It didn't make no difference to me. He's good, isn't He? Your worship dies, you'll stray. I'll never finish the sermon this morning. Let me give you these thoughts, though. When do people go to this far country? When do they go? I'll tell you, when they leave, when they go, when they allow their head to start thinking wrong. You see, if you can start thinking, you start getting thoughts in your mind. You know, the devil puts all kinds of thoughts in our mind. We're not accountable when the thought first enters our mind. We're accountable for what we do with that thought when it comes there. You see, if the devil puts a thought in your mind, or if the flesh, you have to dismiss it, don't you? And if you don't dismiss it, and you dwell on it, you think on it, well, then you're accountable for it. You know, if you go down the road, I was working in my garage yesterday, and I was playing off my phone there. I was playing some just instrumental music, gospel music, and I was busy. And I went outside, coming back inside, inside, outside. My wife came out there. We were standing there looking at something, and I started listening to that music. It was instrumental. Oh, that don't sound like I Fly Away to me. I thought, that don't sound like Amazing Grace. In fact, Brother Terry, when I heard that, I thought, that sounds like one of those George Jones songs. One of them Tears in My Beer songs. There's no words to it. And I told my wife, I said, that sounds like a country song. And so I went over there, and sure enough, it wasn't George Jones. I don't remember who it was, but I read the title. I said, "Oh man, I don't need to be listening to that." And I turned it back over to where it was. I don't know how it got over there. You know, it's these phones, isn't it? But I didn't want to listen to that. I know what that beer drinking crowd does to people, their homes, their families. But I tell you, if I'd have been out there and I just said, "You know, well, that's just instrumental music." I remember the words to that song after all these years as a little boy. And you know, when I was a kid, I couldn't stand country music. My mom and dad, 7 o'clock on Saturday morning, they had one of them old, entertainment systems, you know, where you took, cleared everything off the top and you raised it up and it had an 8-track player and it had a record player and a radio. And, boy, 7 o'clock, they'd crank old Waylon up, you know. He'd be Waylon. I'd stick a pillow over my head. Oh, man, I was against country music forever got saved. I couldn't stand that mess. And they'd crank that stuff up. But even though I didn't like it, guess what? I could remember those words. You say, "What? That's the flesh." So what'd you do? I dismissed it immediately. I got rid of that music. You know how wicked the flesh is? I didn't like country music as a boy, but I'm going to tell you how wicked this flesh is. If I'd have hesitated a minute, Brother Laddie, you never know what this flesh would grab hold of. That flesh might have grabbed hold of one of them old songs from the past and said, "You know what? There's really nothing. You're not listening to the words." You see what I'm saying? You say, "Well, preacher, would that really get you in the far country?" Oh, it would, friend. It would, friend, in a heartbeat. One footstep at a time. What I'm saying to you this morning is, how do people, when they allow their heads to think wrong, they go to the far country. When they allow their hands to do wrong, I ask you this question: what are you doing? Are you doing something you know God's not pleased with? Are you into something you're not supposed to be into? What are you doing? Think about that. "Well, it's just a little something." Yeah, it's going to get you in the far country is what it's going to do. The devil knows if he can get you to do one thing wrong, he can get you to do 10 things wrong. You see, a man didn't start out a drunk by just going and buying a 12-pack or a 6-pack. No, he just started out one little pony. One little sip. What I'm saying is, when do people go to the far country? When they allow their heads to think wrong. When they allow their hands to think wrong. When they allow their heart to desire wrong. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. A man may have never committed adultery with his body, but what about the heart? Jesus said that if you lust after a woman in your heart, you've committed adultery. And I'm saying this morning that it starts with the heart. God looks beyond this flesh. He sees the heart. You know, people like to take that scripture out of context and say, "Well, you know, God looketh on the heart, man looketh on the outward," and every bit of that's Bible and true, but they don't put it in context. And I'm going to tell you, think about this. Man does look at the outward. God does look on the heart. But if the heart's right, the outside's going to be right. Isn't that right? And you know what? We have a responsibility both to God and to man. Man can't see the heart, but God can. So the heart has to be clean. The heart has to be right. But man can only see the outside. So you know what that means? The outside's got to be right. It's not a license to say, "Well, the outside can be whatever it wants to be as long as the heart is right." Hey, listen, that doesn't equal out. If the heart is right, the outside's going to be right with the heart. Isn't that true? And what I'm saying is that those who go to the far country are those who allow their heart to desire wrong things. What's in your heart? You ought to ask the Holy Ghost. Listen, our heart is desperately wicked above all and deceitful, and we can't know our heart, but God knows our heart. And what we have to do is say, "Lord, show me what's in my heart that needs to be right. God, if you'll show me, I'll confess it and I'll forsake it." And then when people allow their feet to walk wrong, they go to the far country. Don't go places you have no business being. Don't go places that's going to take you away from God. You know, there's certain places I just don't want anything to do with. I remember years ago we was someplace and when the event was over with, it drastically turned to something that nobody expected, and we immediately left because we wouldn't be a partaker of none of that. You got to be careful where you go. The crowd, just look, you say, well, how do I know if this is wrong? Just look at the crowd that's there. The crowd will tell you a whole lot about the event. You know, I mean, there's just things that in the day that we live in, we don't hear this preached enough. This is just my introduction. I'm going to stop in my introduction. I may preach the other part tonight, but I'm telling you, why is it the far country? There's so many things as to why, but when do people go? It's when they allow their feet to do wrong. See, Satan knows. Here's what he knows. Put this together, and I'm going to close in a minute. Satan knows that if he was to come to your heart's door right now and say, now listen, Brother Dathan, how about going to the bar this afternoon? Well, his feet's not going to the bar. So here's what Satan has to do. He has to start with the head. He has to plant the thought. You know, it's not really anything wrong with drinking some alcohol, social drinking. You can take, you know, you just a little, you keep up with your ounces. It starts with a head, see. It can be anything. I'm just illustrating that. He knows you're not going to the bar today, so let's just start with a head. And if you'll dwell on that, if he can get you to think about it, if you don't dismiss that and say, well, that's, I'm not doing that. God, take that from me. Then you just keep planting it there, keep planting it there. Till finally, the more you, as more you think on something, it goes from here to right here. You may not have done anything, but that's where it's at. See, the more you think about how somebody's done you wrong, the more unforgiveness goes from here to here. See, it's just that. The more you think about somebody, what they have, and how, well, I don't understand why they've got this and I don't have that, the more envy goes from here to here. It gets down and it lodges. And it just stays there. It's like a cancer. So he gets you to thinking about that drink. And then before long, you're like, well, you know, I would never get drunk, but I would like to know what alcohol tasted like. A sip ain't going to make you. So you just get it right there. And then you know what happens? You think, well, I'm not going to a bar. That would be terrible. That would be a bad testimony. What if somebody saw me? But I'll tell you what I'll do. I'm just going to slip over here to this little package store, or maybe go back here to this grocery. I'm just going to go somewhere where nobody sees me. I'm just going to get one. And that's in your hand. You see where I'm talking about? It's in your hand. You start drinking that. You start drinking that. You say, well, I can't go to Bible Baptist. Preacher is going to preach on that. You know he's going to preach on alcohol. You know he's going to preach on drinking, and I can't do that. So I got to go somewhere else. I got to get out. But I can't leave Bible and be wrong. Why can't I leave Bible? Well, you know, people don't treat me right now. I just got to thinking about that. Now, Dave Terry don't even like me. I can tell it when he's in the choir singing. I ask him to sing a song, and he just acts like he doesn't even want to sing the song anymore. He doesn't even know anything. But it starts getting in your heart, your mind. There's the hook. Well, I just don't feel like people love me down there. I don't feel like they appreciate me. You know, when I came there, everybody was so friendly. But now, you know what? People just, they're just not, all 200 of them's not the same anymore. Just me. Just me. And for all you, I'm not getting out of church. But you know, I'll go over here to this church across town because you know, they love everybody there. That preacher, he's not mean. He don't get up like Brother Graham. You don't have to worry about him condemning everybody every Sunday. Oh, it just keeps going. It just keeps going. He'll say whatever he has to say to get you to do whatever he wants you to do. And for long, you're over there and people say, oh, yeah, we social drink. There's not nothing wrong with that. And then one day, you pull up at the bar. By this time, so many things he's fed so many lies that you can walk in there without a guilty conscience anymore. Because everybody else that would ever condemn you is wrong, and you're the only one that's right. I'm going to tell you something. When I'm the only one that's right, I'm the only one that's wrong, friend. Because this many people can't be wrong. Isn't that the truth? And one day you're sitting down at the bar. Started with your head, it went to your heart, it got to your hand, eventually it gets to your feet. I'm telling you, it's just the same old story over and over and over. That boy, he started thinking about this country. Man, I'd like to get out of this. I'd like to get off this farm. I'd like to get out from under my dad. If I could just get away from my dad and my brother. If I could just get out there, I don't want to do a bunch of wrong stuff, but I'm tired of the rules. I'm tired of being told what to do. I'm tired of everybody running my life. I'm tired of I'm just tired of all this work and labor. Where does it really get me in life? I'm just stuck here on this farm. My life's going nowheres. Went from his head to his heart, and one day he got the nerve up to go to his dad and say, "Give me the portion. Give me what's mine." He got it in his hand, and not many days after, he just took it all and got in his feet. One step at a time, he kept walking away, walking away. I want to say this morning, I want to be sensitive, Lord, but the far country. I want to tell you one thing before I give invitation. I want you to think about this morning, because I want to think about it. Your pastor wants to think about this. The far country has claimed some of the best of God's children. Some of the best. The tragedy in a lot of people's life is this boy makes it home, and thank God he makes it home. But the tragedy is many never do. Many never, they die in the hog pen of sin. They never make it back. We all know people like that, don't we? They never made it back. I remember preaching a funeral at the first church I pastored of a gentleman that I really firmly believe was as saved as anybody in this building. And God used him, and he was a blessing. But he got away from God. And about a year after he got away from God, was tragically killed. And we visited his home. We tried to get him to come back, and he never would come back. He always had an excuse. And when I preached that man's funeral, I wondered in my mind, did he send away his day of grace? Did he go to a premature grave? You say, are you judging him? No, I'm just telling you how it all laid out. And I wondered, I believe the man was saved. Did God take him home? Because he got away from the far countries claim some of the best of God's children. I don't want to be a victim of the far countries. We stand this morning, our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you need